Masters 1000, 6 Masters, la Coupe Davis en 2010. Cette saison, il était victorieux à Auckland et à l'Open d'Australie. C'est sa 19e participation. Ici, il a éliminé Kovacevic au premier tour, Fuksovic au deuxième, Davidovic Fokina, Varias et enfin Karen Khachanov pour se qualifier pour ses demi-finales. 22 titres en Grand Chelem, 2 à Roland Garros. Il est serbe Novak Djokovic.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal.
Silence, s'il vous plaît.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Not only are the players ready, but they are out on Philippe Chatrier for the first action of day 14. This is finals weekend at Roland Garros, the second Grand Slam, the second major of the year. You can hear the music building up. This is what it's all been about. The hard work, the toil, the sacrifices to be taking part in a Grand Slam final. And we've got three of them for you on Philippe Chatrier through the course of the day, beginning with Alfie Hewitt, the world number one in the men's wheelchair singles event, taking on Takuto Oda of Japan, who's the world number two, playing for the number one ranking and to be crowned 2023 Roland Garros men's wheelchair singles champion. There is a lot on the line. Following that, not before 2:45 in terms of our build-up, we'll get you ready for Iga Świątek against Karolina Muchova. The players due out at 3. And then we wrap things up with the men's doubles final. Back in the final this year, Ivan Dodig and Austin Krajicek, the four seeds, against the unseeded Belgians of Sander Gilles and Joren Vliegen. It's wonderful music. It's appropriate music. The skies are blue. The temperatures are rising. The spectators are filling the stands. And I'm very happy to say that starting things off with Stefan on the controls, myself, Shiji Salmon, Marcus Buckland and Eleanor Preston. How are we all on finals weekend?
We're very happy to be here and very overexcited and not quite sure how we got here so quickly, which is always that feeling on finals weekend, isn't it? One minute you're in the second round and the next minute it's all finals all the way through.
How are you?
I'm extremely well. Had a very enjoyable breakfast with Lady Eleanor. We put the world to rights. We had a lovely walk here. As you say, it's a beautiful day. We've done our research, or at least I've done mine.
I can see the highlighted lines, yes, so I know the research has been done.
5 o'clock this morning, and can't wait for it to get going.
Yeah, really exciting. Starting off, the wheelchair event for this year has been expanded from 12 to 16 players, and it is on the show court. It's on Philippe Chatrier, one of the biggest courts in world tennis. We have the two best players in the world right now. The guys will get into this, but there's been changes in the event in terms of retirements and new players coming through. But what is a consistent element is the standard continues to rise.
Yes, it does. And the sport continues to grow. And, you know, in terms of every element of it, in terms of the stature of the events at Grand Slams, their prominence within the Grand Slam diaspora. Of course, there's a regular tour, just as there is for the men and women players. You know, their wheelchair tour itself continues to grow. It's attracting more and more sponsorship, which is a key element of it. And as you said, the standard is beginning to grow. We're starting to see a bit more depth, and that's why we're able to watch today someone who's 17 and is doing phenomenal things in the sport and for the sport. And it's very exciting. As you said, we've got number one against number two, and we couldn't have asked for a more high-quality match to showcase this fantastic sport.
Alfie Hewitt going for a fourth Roland Garros title. He wasn't in the final last year. That was won by Shingo Kunieda, who finally decided enough was enough, and it was such a big moment. I was out in Tokyo when he won the gold medal, and it was such a moment. You felt it had been building up to that, and then he carried it on through, but I think he thought, and his records are ridiculous, but someone who's aiming at those records is Alfie Hewitt, and again, I'm sure you'll go through the stage where he nearly had to stop being a professional tennis player, but he's back. He's still so young, Marcus, and he's got the world at his feet.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's bidding to win his fourth Roland Garros title today, successful in 2017, 2020 and 2021. He's still only 25 years of age, but youth is the key because his Japanese opponent has a chance at 17 years and 33 days to become the youngest player to win a Grand Slam singles title in any discipline, excluding juniors, of course, since the 1997 US Open when Martina Hingis won the women's singles title at the age of 16 years and 342 days. So he would appear to be at the start of a very, very exciting career.
And it's exciting because there is a generation, a little bit like we talk about the big three in men's tennis, there's a generation in wheelchair tennis. Stefan Ude returned to Roland Garros this year. We've had Shingo Kanyeda retiring. Gordon Reid, older than Alfie, who has done so much for the sport. Gustavo Fernandez. So there's that generation that is getting older. I'm not saying the past it, but they're getting older. But it's wonderful to see this new crop. We've got Egberink and we've got Vink. Niels Vink. We have the quad category, we have the men's wheelchair categories, but we've got these exciting players coming up from Holland and in the men's wheelchair event, a couple of players from Japan. We're going to see one of them out here today. And it's really good, Ellen, that those players, they're being inspired to play. More money is going into the grassroots level and more are coming through and taking up the sport.
Yes, and there are parallels, if you like, between Oda and Carlos Alcaraz in the sense that you are following behind a player from your own country who's been this all-conquering legend of the sport. And not only are you trying to make your way at the age of 17 in a very, very tough professional sport, but you're having to do so with this kind of aura of greatness that's come before you.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how these things work out. And it is, as you said, it's a fascinating and exciting time for wheelchair tennis because we're having this changing of the guard. But Alfie Hewitt is as you said, still very young, but he's almost a veteran in this match, isn't he? He's the player with all of the titles and all of the accomplishments over a number of years, because of course he actually started relatively young himself. He actually started to achieve things at a relatively young age, and it's just and we saw that situation, didn't we? Someone like Coco Gauff playing a much younger player, and suddenly she's a veteran. And it's tennis everywhere you look. It's that constant changing and the constant evolutionary process.
And the other thing we'll see and hear through the course of this match, they're allowed the double bounce. They rarely use it. Such is the standard. They want to be taking it on the first bounce. They want to get that first strike in. They want to put the pressure on their opponents. I'm really looking forward to what we have today in this final between Alfie Hewitt and Takito Oda. I'm going to leave Eleanor and Marcus to it, and then we'll be back at 2:45, building up to Świątek against Mukova, then rolling through into the men's doubles final.
Seaweed wrap today, is it? Cheese again?
Apparently you can't have too many consecutive days of seaweed wraps. Ah. Bad for you.
Okay.
So I think we're doing hot stones today.
Hot stones.
Hot stones.
What better than to listen to us while having a hot stone massage?
Well, I think you need no distractions, so I might just have to have hot stones.
Is that her way of saying she's switching us off?
Yeah, she's got the television monitor, hasn't she? I think apparently
candles, incense, and whales mating, something like that, will be the noise. And on that note, I will say goodbye.
Males waiting. Oh, whales.
Whales.
Males mating, not males waiting.
Marcus, it's just past 11 o'clock in the morning local time. It's too early for this.
I didn't mean to, but I was going to go home and have a very early night last night, but I'll get my excuses in early. I bumped into a very, very close friend, and we went for a few too many drinks. So, Eleanor, it's all yours.
Excellent. I'm suddenly filled with a sense of trepidation. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I'm going to need all your help. I'm going to need every bit of assistance from you listeners. So please step up. You can tweet us at @radio_RG. You can email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr. And this is a conversation we actually started last night. What's been your most enjoyable match of this year's Roland Garros? What's been the moment that really you will take away from this event? Is there one moment, one match, one atmosphere? Hopefully you were listening to it here on Radio Roland Garros. Let's just try and collate some of our memories of this tournament over this final weekend.
I've been thinking of that overnight. Lady E, tossing and turning, trying to give you a good answer. I think I probably have to go for one of the matches at the start of the fortnight. I think probably the Benoit Paire match, where the crowd on Suzanne Longlen were so passionate and so behind Benoit. I think in general, the passion that has been very, very clearly demonstrated by all the supporters has really stood out for me. I don't know why more than in previous years. Maybe it's just the weather and the fact that everybody's been here having a good time. The French, of course, are so desperate for success. We are celebrating the 40th anniversary of Yannick Noah's victory, the last male champion from France at Roland Garros. And you've got to go back, it's 23 years, I think, for Mary Pierce and her golden hour. So they are desperate and they cheer everything and every French male and female player to the rafters. So I think it would be the pair one of the pair matches, but I think my theme would just be the incredible support that I know at times may possibly go over the edge when they start booing. You know, somebody queries a call, the umpire comes down. Occasionally they might celebrate a double fault from an opponent against French opposition. But in general, I love that passion.
Yes, and I think we saw that with Monfils against Bayers as well, where the French crowd were passionately behind Monfils, and it just created an extraordinary level of drama. A lot of people talked about Mukova against Sabalenka. That was no shortage of drama either. Now, are we going to see some drama today? Well, you'd think so, with world number one against world number two. History on the line everywhere you look in this match.
Absolutely, everything to play for. It's our eighth meeting between these two. Alfie Hewitt leads the head-to-head by 6-1. But as we've already mentioned, Takito Oda, at the age of just 17, is a fast-emerging force. And we are underway in bright skies once again, and a decent crowd as well inside Châtrier to watch the first of the finals today. Hewitt is at the president's box end, and he's going to race across onto his forehand side. His opening point is being dominated by his Japanese opponent. The double bounce, of course, is allowed. But although he defended really well in his forehand corner, Hewitt was pushed, and there was a gap, and Oda exploited it and takes the first point of the contest.
Well, I must confess, I haven't seen Oda play that much, but he already seems to be keen to be the aggressor, to be the offensive player, forcing Hewitt back in the court. But, well, Hewitt's able there. The serve just being returned with interest on the backhand side, down the line. Almost a flick of the wrist from Hewitt.
And the power that these guys can get is quite extraordinary. You're right, it was into his hitting zone, that serve, but he crunched that away for a clean winner. So 15-all. Oda is a left-hander. He's just missed with his first serve. He's got a reddish top on. Emma's much better at describing the outfit, so it's not really reddish at all. What am I talking about?
It's a Simon Candler's version of red.
It's sort of, it's a clayish colour, if that's clear enough for you. Hewitt's in blue, I can say that with a degree of confidence. Forehand cross-court winner from Oda.
Oda's shirt, I would say, is predominantly pink with a maroon sort of, like patch is one word. There are better words for it. I was thinking of, you know, a bird's plumage, where you have a sort of almost like a cravat. He has like a cravat of maroon and maroon shorts. He's wearing a pink headband, and Hewitt, as Marcus was saying, in a sort of royal blue with a royal blue headband, black shorts.
And he's over celebrating again. Backhand winner this time. So looking forward to seeing this young man in action. I've not seen him live before, but I've only heard good things. And the fact that, in relative terms, he is such a young man, it's fun to be part of what could be a historic day for him. And he holds to serve the return into the net from Alfie Hewitt. So the first game goes the way of the Japanese player. I've mentioned that Hewitt's appearing at Roland Garros for the seventh time, going in search of a fourth title after those wins against Gustavo Fernandez in 2017, against Joachim Gerrard in 2020, and then 12 months later against the great Shingo Kunieda, who, as Gigi mentioned, is way atop of the list of men's wheelchair singles champions. 28 of them, Hewitt on 7, Fernandez with 5, Stefan Hude on 4, and then you've got a couple of players on three. But how long will it be before Oda climbs up that particular list? Right now, he's attempting to become the fourth Japanese player to win a Grand Slam wheelchair singles title.
Yes, Japan has been a very dominant force in wheelchair tennis, as has the Netherlands, of course, with a succession of champions going back to Esther Vergeer.
So, Hewitt, he's come up to our end. They, of course, follow all the normal rules of tennis. And it goes without saying that if you have not watched a wheelchair match live, you've simply got to do so, and you'll be blown away by the skills. There's another cracking return winner this time from Oda. We saw one of those from Hewitt at the start of his opponent's opening service game, and again into the hitting zone and cream back up the line to take the first point. Hewitt will now serve to the backhand, the return is straight back. Oh, nice little drop shot, beautifully executed drop shot with plenty of slice on the forehand side from Alfie Hewitt.
Well, he had two bounces, but he probably needed about six there for that drop shot. Just too good. And you can see a large semicircle on the court where the wheels of Oda's wheelchair had to do such a big circle to get round to that drop shot. It's almost carved a semicircle into the clay.
Well, Oda's returning on his forehand there with plenty of slice. He's going to put up a high ball. Back goes Hewitt. The ball lands inside his baseline. Can he get there on the second bounce? Yes, he can. He hooks it back into court. Brilliant play. He's going to be... Oh, I say brilliant play. It's landed a fraction wide.
He did well to get there at all, and he really, in the end, ran out of court, did Hewitt, because he was right down almost level with the officials at our end of the court here on Court Philippe Chatrier, opposite the President's Box.
When talking of the President's Box, Lady E, I spy a very important member of the British tennis hierarchy who we actually walked into Roland Garros with today. The LTA president, Sandy Proctor, is in the second row.
How's that? Hold on.
Well, I think she'll be cheering for Alfie Hewitt.
She will.
He's become such an important figure in British tennis and in the success of British tennis.
Now, the big question is whether Sandy is listening to us. So, if you are, Sandy, after this next point, I know you're in the president's box, but you need to raise your right arm and give us a royal wave.
Or you could stand up and do a one-woman Mexican wave in the president's box.
OK, well, that ball has been put away on the backhand side for a winner from Hewitt. OK, Sandy, now's your moment. Wave to us. Can you wave to us?
I think she's switched us off. I think she's done a Gigi and switched us off.
She is outrageous. I had to say all sorts of nice things about
it's
Sandy.
Almost as if she wants to concentrate on the tennis that's right in front of her.
I mean, inexcusable. Well, we'll try again, Sandy, in the second set. Slice backhand reply straight into the net. Off the return from Oda. Hewitt holds to 30. 6 minutes played, one game all.
I was lucky enough to be working at a special event that the LTA held following the US Open in 2021, where Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales, as she is now, was coming to meet Alfie Hewitt, Joe Salisbury and Emma Raducanu, who'd all just won the US Open. And it was absolutely fantastic. They all had a hit together. And she's pretty handy, the princess.
Is she?
Yeah. She's got a very, very, very good style. And you know, not intimidating at all, having to play with all these professional players with 4,000 cameras and TV cameras watching you. And she held her own very, very well. But I think she was a bit nervous at first. You know, the first couple of forehands were a little bit shaky, quite understandably.
Absolutely.
But she's, very sporty. Kate Middleton, as was.
Yeah. Wow. Huge tennis fan, of course. The serve to the Hewitt backhand, gets a mid-court return. And then Oda just goes a fraction wide with his mid-court forehand. So 1-all, 15-all. I know you're fed up, I'm sure, with us mentioning the weather continuously. There was talk of possible thunderstorms and rain.
Bookworm even gave us a little bit of a heads up that we might have some showers last night, but thankfully they haven't materialised.
No.
Today it's gorgeous, isn't it? Blue sky, not even a, A vague whisper of cloud here and there. Ooh, that's going to go long from Alfie Hewitt. Long and wide. You just slightly mishit that forehand.
Yes, the temperature last night, as I mentioned, was led astray to a nice little restaurant. I had a couple of drinks sitting outside. It's the perfect temperature. You've got this glorious breeze. I mean, it's almost like having a fan just gently on you. Absolute perfection. And I mean, it does get hot during the day, that there's absolutely no doubt, but this has been an extraordinary 2 weeks in terms of the weather. And the tennis is, though it goes wide this time, long as well. So a couple of slight mishits from both players has left the score at 1-1, 30-30 on the Oda serve. And they were talking, yes, Bookworm did say there was some Shaz heading towards us. I think they got diverted at the last moment. Or we might get a thunderstorm. It wouldn't be a surprise after 2 perfect weeks of warm weather that at some stage a bit of thunder and lightning might shake things up. But if the worst comes to worst, we do have a roof. There's been absolutely no need for that so far during this fortnight. Hewitt's on his forehand side, mid-court ball. In comes Oda, plays a big inside-out forehand. Too strong, too good.
40-30.
And it's interesting, Eleanor made the point a little earlier where Hewitt was having to get to that lob and almost go into the back of the court where the line judges are standing. That's a fabulous return game from Oda. But Hewitt manages to stay in the picture. We're on serve at 1-2. Both players just going back to their respective chairs. They'll have the benefit of an umbrella just to enjoy a little bit of shade as temperatures rise again and more spectators start to find their way inside Philippe Chatrier, which is relatively sedate at the moment, which you'd expect, really. It's 20 past 11 on a Saturday morning. But, of course, as the afternoon wears on and we head towards the showpiece event, the battle of styles of personality in many ways. Iga Świątek, who knows all about Roland Garros finals. Karolina Muchova, who's had the most incredible fortnight. I've got to say, I am very much looking forward to seeing how those very differing players perform against each other today, Lady E.
Yes, and now is an appropriate time to mention that you did pick Karolina Muchova as your dark horse before the tournament started. Now, if I don't mention it, Marcus will. So let's just get that out of the way. We all give Marcus kudos for doing that. It was a great pick. I mean, she's a phenomenally talented player. Yeah. I think she's great to watch. She's got great variety.
I think that applause was for me for the pick, wasn't it, just then? Thank you. Bonjour. Merci beaucoup.
I think you constantly have applause in your own head, don't you? But, yeah, I mean, I think she's got great variety. It'll be interesting to see if she can just make some headway on Świątek. I think if Świątek makes a strong start, she's a good front runner.
Yep.
And she's been very dominant in a lot of her matches here at Roland Garros. I mean, she was pushed in the semi-final. There's no question about that by Hader Jamaya. Particularly late in that second set.
Sorry, Lady, just because they're a wonderful backhand service return winner there from Takeda Oda. No, you're absolutely right. Early stages of that second set, Iga, by her own remarkable standards, looked a little bit fragile, and Hader Jamaya came very close to taking it into a decider.
Yeah, I think you can really see that Świątek is happiest when she's in a groove and she's dominating. And what be interesting to see is if Muchova can just put her under a little bit of pressure, just throw some adversity her way, just see how Świątek deals with that. I mean, there's no question that Świątek is out and out favourite by miles.
Mm.
And but you know, we've seen that sometimes the favourite doesn't win. Sometimes strange things happen. We had 2 semi-finals that yesterday that I think perhaps the player who was expected to win didn't win. In Novak Djokovic, who, let's face it, nobody was writing off, but Carlos Alcaraz going into that match was, I think, the favourite. He was the one everyone was talking about. He'd set such an excitingly high standard against Stefanos Tsitsipas. And certainly, I think, I expected Sasha Zverev to beat Casper Ruud, just to, you know, have too much power. And they turned out very differently, and we have a Djokovic-Ruud final on Sunday. So all things can happen in tennis. Nothing's ever preordained.
Absolutely. Well, something significant might be about to happen here because Alfie Hewitt is facing a couple of break points at 1-2, 15-40. We've had two terrific winners in this game from Takito Oda. Hewitt just went long with a ground stroke to bring up these two break points that he's now missed with his first serve as well, as the ball girl very quickly retrieves the ball, heads to the back of the court, and Hewitt at the president's box end is going to serve again, and it's pushed back into play by Oda, who's come to the net. Up goes the lob, and he's missed it. The lob is long, and the first break of the final goes the way of the 17-year-old Japanese player Takito Oda. He leads by 3-1 now after 13 minutes, and he was pretty aggressive there. He came in behind the return, offered Hewitt the option of the lob, and there was a lot of room to aim for, but he just overhit it.
Well, I think that's what we've seen so far in this match, that Oda has started, I think, determined to be on the attack, and he'll have learnt plenty from the 7 previous matches that they played. Always worth bearing in mind with a head-to-head involving a very young player is that that will change. I think that dynamic will change between them. I don't expect there to be a massive lead in Hewitt's head-to-head record perhaps in 2 or 3 years' time.
No. Well, Hewitt's just missed with a return down the line, which went just the wrong side of the sideline. This is Oda's second Grand Slam final. Got to the showpiece event at the Australian Open at the start of this year, lost to Hewitt in straight sets. That was one of their 7 previous encounters. He's already won 19 singles titles and 7 doubles titles, and don't forget he's 17 years and 33 days. Slice backhand return from Hewitt. Oh, that's a winner. He got that one absolutely right.
There's a high backhand return from Alfie Hewitt. Had to reach right out, but somehow managed to guide the ball with significant power back down the line.
It'll make him feel just a little better because he has been under the cosh in the opening exchanges here. Oda broke into the top 10 for the first time in December of 2021 at a career high ranking of 2 now. And don't forget, if he wins, he will succeed Alfie Hewitt as world number 1. Forehand return cross court from Hewitt onto the backhand from Oda. Good get from him. Power again on the backhand side from Hewitt. He'll play another slice backhand. Oda gets there with his forehand. Has he put that long? No, he hasn't. Lots of float on it. Back goes Hewitt. Whips a forehand down the line to the backhand side of his opponent. It's a drop shot. Can Hewitt get there? Oh, not quite, but he got there, but he couldn't control the forehand once he did get in a position to at least make contact.
Such a clever shot from Oda. Such a clever little dink across court. It completely changed the pattern of play there. Totally flummoxed Hewitt. And although the Briton got there, he didn't get there in time to do anything with the reply.
So 3-1, 30-15. Forehand return from Hewitt. Sliced on the backhand from Oda. That's another clean winner. The direction and the power just too much for Hewitt to deal with. And he's that making it look very easy at the moment, I have to say, Lady E.
Yes, he is. He started with a great deal of confidence and poise. And as you said, he's not without experience. Obviously, Alfie Hewitt is vastly the more experienced player of the two. But Oda's had the experience of playing in a Grand Slam final, had the experience of winning titles. And I think he was attempting a drop shot.
Yes, it was.
And it just skewed wide.
Just missed the line. It was in terms of depth, it was brilliant because it was only just over the net. I'm not sure that Hewitt would have got there, but it was just the wrong side of the line. So 3-1, 40-30, and he serves now to the Hewitt forehand mid-court return. Hewitt's there on his backhand. He's coming forward. It's Hewitt, and he's passed. He did leave a gap up the line, and Oda exploited it. And he increases his lead in this first set to 4-1. Change of ball boys and ball girls at this stage. A few more spectators making their way into court. Philippe Chatrier.
This is something we saw yesterday with the mixed doubles finals. Actually, these earlier finals, what they were doing was almost opening the gates and allowing the ground pass holders in so they could come and fill the seats and create and get to see a final, even if you don't have tickets for the main final of the day, if you like. And it's a great idea because now, as you said, lots of people filing in and the stands closest to the court are starting to fill up. create a bit of an atmosphere. And looking around, there's also quite a few wheelchair users watching this match. And, you know, these young men are role models for everybody, for all of us. But I think particularly if you are a young person who's a wheelchair user and you're thinking about getting involved in the sport, wondering if it's possible, wondering if there are opportunities. And certainly in the two nations that these two men are from, there are opportunities to play wheelchair tennis. There's lots of wheelchair tennis coaching going on in the UK. And there are places to play. And as we said, Japan is really a dominant nation in terms of wheelchair tennis. And we have Shingo Kinyeda to thank for that in lots of ways. He was really the GOAT of men's wheelchair tennis for so many years, and just an absolutely extraordinary athlete, and someone who brought just all sorts of attention and marketing value and money into the sport of tennis in Japan and all over the world.
It's another brilliant service return winner on the forehand side from the left-handed Takita Oda to take the first point of this sixth game. He's cracked several wonderful return winners already. So Hewitt slightly on the back foot again, already a breakdown in this opening set. And serving now to the backhand of his opponent, the forehand from Hewitt. That's got good width. Oda did what he could to get across on his backhand side, but it was hit with depth, accuracy, and it was always spinning away from the Japanese player. Good response from Hewitt after losing that opening point. 15 all. He's now serving to the forehand just long with the first serve. Oda spins back to get into position again for this second serve from behind his baseline. Fairway behind the baseline, moving from side to side, now coming forward as the serve is to his backhand, and he just creams another backhand winner down the line. He's on fire with these service returns today.
Yes, I mean, it's the aggression. It's just the overall aggression in all the aspects of his play. And Alfie Hewitt needs to, I think, perhaps take stock and just think about trying to change things up a bit, because he's finding himself being bossed around by the teenager.
Mid-court return this time from Oda, who has now gone to the backhand side of Hewitt, who slices across onto Kunieda's forehand. He is a left-hander, of course. Great depth then from Oda. And that forces another error off the racket of Alfie Hewitt. And here are more break points for Oda to potentially open up a 5-1 lead in this first set. Hewitt is ready, turns, and again misses just long and possibly wide as well on that first serve, although I only heard one call, so possibly was just long. Pigeon flies overhead, the second serves to the forehand, mid-court return, and he's actually put it long by Oda's remarkable standards. That was a very ordinary service return off a second serve. Oda just goes across to his towel. Quick wipe down, constantly moving, purposeful, confident, supremely talented, and on the cusp, perhaps, of a first Grand Slam title and a move to number one in the world at the age of 17 years and 33 days. Deep return, and again, the positioning of the return is just too good.
I think he's reading the Alfie Hewitt game very, very well. As you said, he's going for his shots, but also he's clever, isn't he? He's not just about all-out power. And that's what you see quite often in the wheelchair game, actually, is nous and clarity of thought. And that sometimes seems to separate the good players from the great, is that ability to read the sport. Because, you know, it's got lots of parallels with men's and women's tennis, but it's different, and tactically it's very different. Your placement is so important. There isn't so much power on the serve.
Well, his placement has been exemplary so far, and after 22 minutes he's serving for the first set at 5-1. He's playing a backhand to the forehand side of Hewitt, who goes very deep to the Oda baseline. Hewitt's got a shortish ball which he can look to attack, but he's just put his forehand long.
perhaps a small sign of just Alfie Hewitt feeling this first set slip away from him, slip through his fingers.
Well, Hewitt made the final without dropping a set.
I think he might be about to drop one here.
I think he might. Clips the top of the tape. He'll get another go. He beat Tom Egberink 6-3, 7-5, then saw off Gordon Reid, his doubles partner. One and love. That was a heck of a performance in just 58 minutes. And the number three seed, Gustavo Fernandez, was his victim in the semi-final, 6-2, 6-2. Oda has dropped one set. That was to Ruben Spargeren in the second round. Backhand return deep to the forehand of Oda, who's coming forward again, and I think Hewitt could sense that. And the ball reared up a little at him. He tried to find a gap down the line over the high part of the net, couldn't do so. And Oda's within 2 points now of this opening set.
Well, he's just constantly being rushed, is Hewitt. Oda is really, from the outset of this first set, just been dictating things in all areas. He's been dictating on serve, dictating on return of serve. As you said, his placement's been exquisite.
And that's another very good serve that took Hewitt out wide on his forehand side. It's a mishit service return. And that means that after 24 minutes, almost in the blink of an eye, Tokita Oda of Japan has 3 set points at 5-1, 40 love. And he serves to the forehand of Hewitt, who mishits his return. The roar belongs to the Japanese teenager. He has been ruthless in this opening set. He's taken it by 6-1. Lady E, Alfie has some work to do here.
He has a lot of work to do here. And, you know, as we said, they've played each other on those 7 previous occasions. And Hewitt, on each occasion, worked out how to beat Oda. The problem is that Oda keeps getting better because, as we said, he's only 17. And each time he has another experience, wins another title, plays in another round of a Grand Slam, plays on another big court on another big occasion, he grows in stature. And we've seen today, he is not afraid to take his opportunity. He evidently feels ready. He hasn't had even the slightest hint of nerves, has he, coming out here as a teenager on Court Philippe Chatrier in one of the biggest matches of his career so far. And I think those are all worrying signs for Alfie Hewitt. As I said, Hewitt will need to raise his game. And the question is, if Oda then matches that, what will we see? Now, Hewitt remains the pedigree player, if you like, in terms of Grand Slam titles won. And certainly, as you said, he's won those 3 titles here. But he's second best in every department so far in this match. Matthew has tweeted us. Hello, Matthew. Good morning. Good morning. I'm very pleased you're covering this final. Well, we are too, Matthew. Mm. Wouldn't miss it. We're desperate for British success, says Matthew. Come on, Alfie. Yeah, well, he's certainly got a lot of fans, hasn't he? Not just in the UK, obviously, but all over the world, Alfie Hewitt. I think he's got a sort of slightly cheeky chap, what we in the UK would call a cheeky chappy persona.
He's charismatic. You know, he gives great interviews.
He gives great interviews. He's a good talker. He has a kind of a sort of smiley face, if you like. He's friendly and outgoing as a personality, and he's become really quite a high profile star in the UK, and obviously that will grow probably next year. We have the Paralympics where he will hope to do better than the silver medal he's won so far, and that's a competition which gets a lot of attention. The Paralympic Games, of course, will be in August going into September next year, 2024.
Well, the second set is underway. It's a clean start for Alfie, and he wins the first point as Oda goes wide on his backhand side. I think in a moment we'll give the LTA president, Sandy Proctor, another chance. She's moved.
I think she's getting a bit warm, perhaps. It is a very warm day, as we've been saying. It's not yet noon local time here in Paris, but the temperature is rising.
Yes. Oh, it's another return. Return winner. And that was a standout feature of the first set. His placement is supreme at the moment. And there doesn't seem to be much that Alfie can do about it. So 15-all. Hewitt is a fighter, though. Not write him off just because he's had a disappointing first set. And that's a better serve. The return is wide. from Oda. It's going to be a busy day for Alfie because he's back in action later on court 14 in the doubles final with the aforementioned Gordon Reid up against Martin de la Puente and Gustavo Fernandez of Spain and Argentina, respectively. They're the second seeds. Hewitt and Reid are the top seeds. Backhand return now from Oda to the backhand side of Hewitt. The forehand will go deep to Hewitt's backhand. Highish ball from Hewitt now to the forehand of Oda, who's still going down the middle of the court. He'll look to come in if he possibly can. He slices on his backhand. Again, he's found the line. And that ball flies away from Hewitt.
Keeps finding the space, Oda. It's as if he's got just a finely tuned radar to know where the spare and hard-to-reach places on the court are.
Yeah.
And Hewitt's just finding himself really watching the ball fly past him often.
And that is not something that Alfie Hewitt is used to, of course. We know, and we've mentioned, the remarkable success he's enjoyed during his career over the last 7 or 8 years. But at the moment, he is very much second best. That's a good serve, though. It's a very short return, and Hewitt comes in and should smash it away, and he does on his forehand side. Much better serve. And he gets the rewards for it. Lots happening, by the way. I was going to say, Lady E, on the outside courts, we've got some of the legends in action on Suzanne.
The tournament
Longman.
Of the ancients. If
yes.
you direct, if you,
is that if what, you, they can't call it.
No,
that,
it's
really,
l'ancienne. It means former. It means sort of people of the past. So it's not a direct translation.
But it
does.
You really,
for
it's
us,
like all these ancient old.
To English ears, it sounds like the word ancient.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not a direct translation. We're reliably informed.
Well,
by Stefan and others.
I am not going to allow Gabriella Sabatini to be called ancient. She still looks amazing as Hewitt just goes long. Had a game point there. But he's pegged back to deuce. Gabby Sabatini and Gisela Dulko are in action right now against Lindsay Davenport and Agnieszka Radwanska, who also would not appreciate any connotations between their names and anything ancient.
Well, Radwanska barely retired a couple of years ago. Yeah, as we've been saying, it's a nice mix of ages and eras among the Legends events. And if you are lucky enough to have a ground pass for today, going and someone watching your heroes is a wonderful way to spend a morning or a sunny afternoon here at Roland Garros.
Hewitt serves to the backhand. Oh, guess what? It's another driven backhand service return winner.
Yes, he's coming right deep inside the baseline to return these serves, and that is just not leaving Hewitt any opportunity for the plus one. It's not near enough to him to make a plus one. A lot of these are clean return winners.
So it's a breakpoint opportunity for Oda right at the start of the second set, having taken the first with a couple of breaks of serve, and Hewitt's missed with his first serve here. So alarm bells ringing again inside the British camp. The second serve is sliced back on the forehand side. Hewitt's there with a big inside-out forehand. That's a winner.
Almost sounded like there was a net cord on that serve. There was a noise, wasn't there? But apparently not. Yeah, that was a better from Hewitt. And for once, he got the opportunity to just be in charge, which has happened precious few times so far in this wheelchair final.
Goes without saying that it's really important for Hewitt to hold his serve at the start of this second set. It's juiced for a second time. That's a good serve down the middle. Forehand reply from Oda, who will go on to his forehand again on the second bounce. Hewitt lets it bounce twice and then hits one on his backhand side. Now he's going wide onto his backhand. Puts up a defensive lob. Oda's underneath this. He's going to smash it. No, he's not. He's going to play a clever little drop shot. Can Hewitt get there? He can. He tries to go down the line, but Oda's in a position to cut it out with a forehand volley into the open court.
What an elegant bit of shot making there from Oda. Not only was the drop shot really heavily disguised and you know, again, just changing up the rhythm entirely in the middle of a rally, which is, you know, a great way to use that shot. But then he anticipated beautifully and he was almost gliding along as he hit that second volley, and Hewitt was nowhere near.
I mean, I was surprised that he went with the heavily disguised drop shot. He had a short ball. It looked for all the world as though he's just going to hammer it away. And Well, Hewitt almost made him pay, but as Eleanor said, his anticipation was perfect. So it's break point again. The backhand returns deep, but Hewitt's got a forehand onto that, into the corner. Oh, he's hit that well. He saved another break point.
Well, it needed to be hit well because Oda was on it. Very nearly got there in time. And that's what Hewitt's going to have to find. Power and precision and accuracy on every single shot if he wants to find a way back into this match.
Yeah. Well, this is a real battle within a battle at the start of the second set, and that was encouraging from a British point of view. So, deuce for a third time, with Hewitt serving from the president's box end. Up goes the ball, and he serves to the forehand of the left-hander. The return's long. So, having faced a couple of break points, Hewitt's got another chance now to hold his serve. Give himself a real boost at the start of this second set.
And Oda constantly moving on return of serve. Just trying to keep the momentum of his movement ready to return the serve. Doesn't need to worry about that one, as it was some way long.
Yeah, you're right. He is constantly in motion. Switching from side to side. Coming forward now as this second... Oh, it's a double fault. He's gone long with a second serve. And I think that's probably a direct result of the brilliant returns that we've seen from Oda, who's capitalised so well on any short second serve up to now.
Yes, I think that was an earned double fault in the sense that Oda's been putting the Hewitt serve under pressure consistently. And eventually you do draw errors by doing that because you force your opponent to just go for slightly more than they're comfortable with on the second serve. And again, the first serve just this time hitting the tape.
Well, this is a bit of a balancing act here now for Hewitt. He knows that Oda's going to try and seize on what will almost certainly be a short second serve. Oh, it's another double fault.
And again, as I said, I think Oda has earned these.
Yeah.
I mean, you can put it down to the pressure of the occasion, but I actually think it's the pressure of the opponent.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, he has returned so well. He's put the seed of doubt in Alfie's mind. Back-to-back double faults. So from game point to another break point for the Japanese player. How Alfie would love a good first serve here. And he's got one, and the backhand return is wide. Excellent length on that first serve. Exactly what Alfie needed. And this is what we expect from him. Fighting, scrapping, knowing he's in trouble. He's been blown off court in the first set. He's going to break down here. Well, it's going to be a very long road back, but he's hanging in. Deuce again. Another first serve is the order of the day as well as far as the Brit's concerned, but he hasn't found one this time. He went down the middle, but he hit it long now. We've had two double faults in this game already. What's he going to do with this second serve? And it sounded like it clipped the tape, but the point continues. Slice on the backhand. In comes Hewitt with a volley. Is he going to get past? No, he's not. He's there at the net to put away a backhand volley.
Well, he's won 71 doubles titles, says Alfie Hewitt, and that's why, because he anticipates beautifully at the net. And we said he'd have to lift his game. He has in the last couple of points here, Alfie Hewitt.
Yeah, so another game point. You don't want to be biased, but Alfie, a first serve here again would be nice. No, he's gone long. Twirls his chair in a degree of frustration, but also so he's in position to receive another ball from quite a tall ball boy at that far end, the president's box end. And here comes the second serve. It's squashed back on the backhand side, and the plus one from Hewitt is not a good one. It's wide, and it's deuce again. It's the never-ending game.
Never-ending game and never-ending movement from Oda. I'm just looking at the patterns on the court here. And at Alfie Hewitt's end, you can see, you know, where the wheels have carved their way into the clay. And at this end, you can almost see a pattern that's like a cat's cradle because of swirling lines. You could almost make a sort of piece of artwork.
Well, it's deuce for the sixth time in this first game of the second set. You're listening to Radio Roland Garros. I'm Marcus Buckland alongside Eleanor Preston. We're watching Alfie Hewitt of Great Britain, the world number one, up against the world number two, Tokito Oda of Japan, in the final of the wheelchair singles with the number one ranking up for grabs. Ode going in search of a first Grand Slam title of his own. And it's another double fault from Hewitt. He goes long with that one. He's been plagued with them in this particular game. That is his third double fault of the game and indeed of the match. So deuce for a seventh time leads to a fourth break point. And that first serve is just wide. And you sense that Oda is ready to pounce here. But also you sense a degree of concern for Hewitt with this second serve. Well, it's in play. Forehand's driven straight back at him. Pushed on the forehand side by Hewitt. And then he can't get out to his forehand wing in time. Yet again, Oda finds the angle, finds the timing, gets the break, and now leads this final by a set and a break after 38 minutes.
Well, a break of serve at just the wrong time from Alfie Hewitt's perspective. And those three double faults really costing him dear, because otherwise he actually was starting to play a little bit better, I think, at the early stages of the second set. But it's been all Oda all the way along in terms of his aggressive play. As I said, he's been dominant, largely dominant on his service games, and he's been returning the Hewitt serve so well.
Yes, this is a severe test for the Brit, who likes a scrap, likes a battle, and will have to demonstrate all those qualities now if he's to pull this one back. I mentioned Dulko and Sabatini up against Davenport and Radvanska on court Suzanne Longland. Also there a little later, Henri Lecomte and Andre Medvedev. They're teaming up to play Guy Forget and Fabrice Santoro. As a return winner down the line gives Hewitt something to build on in this first service game of the second set from Takito Oda. And also today on Suzanne Longland, it's Nathalie Deschi and Sebastian Grosjean in the mixed doubles against Kim Clijsters and Cedric Pierlin. Some vintage names, still more than capable of thrilling and delighting spectators on a tennis court. Backhand drop shot from Oda, and that's got to comfortably by Alfie Hewitt. Not the best of drop shots, it has to be said. Hewitt had all the time in the world just to wait for the second bounce and then to club away a forehand winner. Love 30.
Well, this would be a handy time to reclaim your break of serve from Alfie Hewitt's perspective. And again, in this game, we've just seen him be a little bit more aggressive, and I think that's what he needs to do. He needs to wrestle back the initiative. Start putting Oda under a little bit of pressure, because there's been precious little of that so far in this final.
Oda's gone wide now with his first serve at love 30. And the second serve is a good one. It's flicked back into play, though. It was an off backhand, and then a high ball is met with a volley that goes long from Hewitt. Clever play from Oda, saw that Hewitt was slightly out of position, put up a high lob, and the volley was very hard to control.
No, that was actually my fault. Very few things are, but that was.
Oh, thank you, Lady E.
I was just going to say that Alfie Hewitt is muttering away to himself, just went to get his towel, and he was not happy with what he saw as an error. I think it was a very tricky ball. It was high. And of course, you're trying to hit a high ball in a prone position on a chair.
That's a good return there from Alfie Hewitt, but in comes Oda, quick as you like, with a blistering plus one cross-court winner. And he's got back from love 30 to 30 all. I'm just making a note that on day 14 at Roland Garros, Lady E admitted to an error.
A very small error.
The time 11:53, that will be noted, logged and celebrated by the whole team. 30 all. Forehand return low. Oh yes, clean winner. Alfie, he's got himself a break back point. And I apologise if occasionally, particularly to our Japanese listeners, I apologise if occasionally there's a hint of glee in my voice, but we want a good match here more than anything else, and good to see Hewitt threatening the comeback here. Returning now. Oh, no, his inside out. Forehand return is wide. He's furious with himself. Bemoaning what he was doing there. Oh, he's swishing his racket at the back of the court. He knows what an opportunity that was.
Yes, we're just starting to see a few signs of frustration in Alfie Hewitt, and not surprising given the occasion, not surprising given the scoreline.
Yeah, that might prove costly. And he turns again wide, forehand cross court into the tram lines.
Well, that was a good serve. Not much that Hewitt could do with that reply.
Oh, I think he's still thinking about the previous one, though. Another sigh. Look at his racket. Forget it, Alfie, it's gone. It's a game point now to consolidate the break. Backhand return, that's better. Much better from Hewitt. Deep backhand return across court. And on this occasion, it was Oda's turn just to sit there and accept that the return was too good for him.
Yes, and we've just, I think in the last couple of games, we started to see Hewitt nailing a few of those returns. We saw a couple very early in the first set, but really, it was all Oda.
That's another really good serve from Oda. High forehand return is back in play. Oda clubs. Oh, he clubs an inside-in forehand winner. It was a good serve. Hewitt got a defensive ball back into play, but it bounced up very nicely. Oda had time to weigh up his options and decided to hammer the forehand.
Well, he served extremely well so far in this match as the Japanese player.
Game point again. Backhand return from Hewitt. Oh, and a slightly rushed, uncharacteristic backhand error from Oda.
Yes, he was almost slightly in the wrong position, wasn't he? A little bit too far forward to hit that.
Another very long game. And that serve is just the wrong side of the centre line. 122 kilometres an hour.
And Oda, as lots of wheelchair players do, positions the spare balls on serve in between the spokes of the wheel on the wheelchair.
The second serve is to the backhand of Hewitt, onto the slice backhand of the Japanese player. Hewitt's there again with a strong, deep backhand that kicks up a little bit at Oda and forces the error. Much better from Alfie Hewitt. And here's another break back point opportunity. Now, he had lots of game points in his first service game, but this second set ended up being broken. Here is a second break-back chance, and remember how furious he was when he failed to capitalise on the first of them off the return. Here's a chance for redemption. Oda's ready. Two bounces of the ball. Up it goes. The serve is to the forehand and up the up the middle of the court, whatever you prefer to say, in between the two. Doesn't matter. It was a winner, and Alfie Hewitt has broken back.
And again, it's the return of serve from Hewitt, which we've seen dialed up a little bit in the last couple of games, and a vital time to reclaim that break of serve early in this second set. Much better from Hewitt. Can he find a way back into this match? Well, Rob says, thanks for covering the men's wheelchair final on Radio Roland Garros. It's not on TV where Rob is. Well, it's an absolute pleasure, Rob. And he says his memorable match is the bagel served up by Leila Fernandez and Taylor Townsend in their straight sets women's double semi-final. That would have been clever, wouldn't it? Women's double semi-final over Goff and Pegula. Total upset, question mark? I think so. I completely agree. Yeah. That was one of the more surprising matches.
Hewitt thought he'd just started this game with an ace, but there was a query over the lack of a call. The umpire went down and confirmed that the serve was out. Second serve is in play, and as Oda comes in, Hewitt's able to pass him with a wonderful backhand. Definite signs that the Brit is starting to find his A game here.
Yes, he's roused himself, hasn't he? And I think that'll be a test of Oda. As we said, Hewitt's got so much more experience. He'll have been in this situation so many more times and been down in Grand Slam finals on many occasions. If he can start to just remind Oda who he's playing and what they're playing for.
1-all, 15 love. First serve clips the top of the tape. Goes long. Ball goes straight back to Hewitt. He's ready for the second serve. And I thought he was going to double fault, but it was right on the service line, and the backhand returns into the net.
It was very close to a double fault, wasn't it? It was the deepest of deep serves, right on the service line. And I think that actually made it harder for Oda.
Well, you made the excellent point that those double faults that proved so costly had been earned by Oda because he's returned so well. And Alfie knows that he's got to find depth and placement with his first serve in particular. Otherwise, he's going to be in trouble. And maybe he will have to gamble a little on the second serve as well, because Oda doesn't wait for a second invitation if they bounce up short. He's now hitting a big off-return winner. It must have caught the edge of the line. It looked at the blind judge waiting for a call. It didn't come. Another example of how effective he can be off the return.